This is Audible.
Tantor Audio, a division of Recorded Books, presents Double Dog Dare by Gretchen Archer, narrated by Amber Benson. 1. Security called Saturday morning at 7:45 to say I had a visitor. My name is Davis Way Cole. I live on the 29th floor of the Bellissimo Resort and Casino in Biloxi, Mississippi, with my husband and our 20-month-old twin daughters. At any given time, there were 3,000 employees and 10,000 guests below us, so security screening to our private residence was necessary. The security screening that Saturday morning was a necessary formality because the visitor was my only sibling and younger sister, Meredith. Except it wasn't.
Vree!
It was Vreeland Howard, my sister's best friend. Meredith was supposed to arrive at 8, Vree at 10. I was expecting Meredith, but it was Vree at the door. I didn't get the memo. I was still in my pajamas. I'd had one sip of coffee. Vree, between two tall stacks of hot pink luggage, opened her mouth to speak. I braced myself for what I knew was coming. In 10 seconds flat, Vree managed to get all this out without taking a breath.
Hi, Davis, it's me. I couldn't sleep knowing tomorrow would be today, and then it was today. I was awake and packed, and I couldn't wait one more minute, so here I am. I left before the sun came up and only stopped once for Starbucks and Mobile. Am I too early? Meredith isn't answering her phone. She's here, right? Meredith! Bubbles! Bubbly girl! Bubblegum! It's Mommy!
And that was why I had Meredith arriving first. It wasn't that I didn't like Vree. I'd known her my whole life. I liked her just fine. It was that I didn't want to be in charge of Vree. I wanted Meredith here so she could handle her. I opened my mouth to speak, but not fast enough.
Davis!
She dragged my name out.
Are Meredith and Bubblegum not here yet?
Bubblegum was Vree's Westie, her West Highland White Terrier. Cute little dog. The most spoiled, rotten, cute little dog to ever prance on four paws and reigning grand champion of the Southern Canine Association, who would be staying in our home, defending her title at this year's Bellissimo-hosted SCA dog show. So, for a week, an entire week, I had my sister, Vree, and Vree's dog. My husband Bradley would be out of town, and who could blame him? They're not here yet, Vree. I opened the door wider. Come on in. She came on in, rolling her hot pink luggage towers. She moved faster than she talked.
I can't believe I beat them traffic, you think? No? There was no traffic. It's Saturday morning. Saturday morning is the best time to be on the road for that very reason, because there's no traffic. Everyone's still in bed. You can't sleep and drive at the same time, right?
Four little hands were tugging my robe. Bexley and Quinn, my baby girls, didn't know Vree. They'd met her a few times when we'd been home to see my parents in Pineapple, Alabama, where Vree and Meredith lived and where I was from, too. But at their ages, my daughters were out of sight, out of mind, unless the person in front of them was family or a regular. Vree was neither. The girls were busy assessing her for playmate potential and eyeing her hot pink luggage for climbing possibilities, and all from behind my legs. Bex peeked around one of my knees and Quinn the other. Bradley, who'd been out of bed all of 10 minutes on his only day off, called out from the terrace where he was waking up with the Sun Herald and a hot cup of coffee.
"Hello, Meredith."
"It's not Meredith," I yelled down the hall. "It's Vree." Nothing back from Bradley because he, like me, was probably trying to figure out who crossed which wires. I reached for the extended handle on one of the hot pink suitcase stacks and pointed Vree in the direction of the guest wing. Bex and Quinn ran ahead. "Settle in, Vree. Make yourself at home. Let me grab a quick shower, then we'll have breakfast on the terrace with Bradley." Meredith will be here by then. Except she wasn't. Bradley ordered breakfast and dressed the girls, or, better put, Bradley was with the girls when they dressed. I passed the coffee pot for the adults and sippy cups of chocolate milk for the princess cowgirl and the ballerina fireman, I think. I wasn't sure what the girls were going for because Quinn topped off her blue ball gown with a pirate hat, and Bex her red fireman jacket over pink tutu with a plush purple wizard's hat. Between them, there were 4 purses, 3 different shoes, 2 unmatched socks, and a dusty cowgirl boot. Saturday was one of their favorite days of the week, in direct competition with the other 6. Saturdays were extra special, though, because Daddy was in charge, and that meant wardrobe freedom. They'd stay in their Saturday get-ups until they were ready for pajamas again, unless Bradley let them play in mud, run through sprinklers, or, like last Saturday, decorate their own cupcakes at Frosting's, the bakery on the mezzanine level of the hotel. My phone was stuffed with Saturday pictures of my husband and daughters, and my phone was right in front of me. Vries was, too, both of us waiting to hear from Meredith, who was officially an hour late, hadn't called, and wasn't picking up. Something stopped me from calling my parents to ask if they'd heard from her. That something was Vree.
"Let me get this straight."
She zoomed in on my husband.
"You're the president of the casino? This whole place? Every square inch? You're large and in charge, like the buck stops here? I can't imagine how much money you make. I mean, look around. You're making the big bucks. And you've never been married before you married Davis? And you're from Texas, and you don't have any brothers or sisters? Neither do I. I love being an only child. Do you? You know who you remind me of? Young Paul Newman. Remember that movie where Paul Newman was in jail and ate all those eggs? I swear, I can't even eat eggs because of that movie. My husband Gooch loves eggs. He has 3 brothers, and if I wasn't glad I was an only child before I married Gooch, I tell you what, I was glad after. When his brothers show up, which is every single Friday night of my life, double bubble, and I hit the road. Those Howard boys are horrible, one at a time. You can't even imagine what it's like when they're together. They were raised by their aunt because their parents got in a race with the train and lost. Splat! So their aunt, the creepiest woman on God's green earth, raised them. She smells like Eye of Newt or Bat Wings, and she smells that way because she's a rip-roaring witch. Certified. Papers. I swear she cast spells on me. Her name is Bootsy. Her name should be Broomhilda.
Vree could talk the stars out of the sky. I believed she talked, so she wouldn't have to listen. There was always something Vree didn't want to hear. When we were little girls, she didn't want to hear my mother say it was time for her to go home, and tried to talk mother into letting her stay. When we were in elementary school, she didn't want to hear her parents were divorcing, and tried to talk them back together. When we were in high school, she didn't want to hear she was failing again, and talked herself all the way into a cap and gown. Vree talked over, under, and all the way through her life. I always thought she'd grow out of it. Yet here we were, and she was still talking her head off. I wasn't sure what it was adult Vree didn't want to hear. Bex and Quinn said,
"Shiny, shiny, shiny."
Something she did want to hear. She looked at them curiously. "They're saying you're pretty, Vree. That's their word for pretty." She thanked them for the next 5 minutes. They didn't catch a bit of it. They were right, though. Vree was pretty. She'd always been pretty in a Marilyn Monroe sort of way. Think Marilyn Monroe on Red Bull. She was 34 years old with waist-length flyaway blonde hair, cocoa brown eyes, perfect skin, and wore her clothes 2 sizes too small. Her husband, Gooch the Egg Eater, looked like a tall Yosemite Sam. The 10-gallon hat, the handlebar mustache, the 6 shooters. And Vree might be right about Gooch's Aunt Bootsy. That woman was spooky. Unlike Vree, who truly believed, I gave up the notion Bootsy was a bona fide witch around the time I learned the truth about the Easter Bunny. Was Bootsy terrifying? Yes. A witch? No. Probably not. Surely to goodness not.
There was no such thing. Was there?
Who cooked all this food?
Plethora, Vree didn't give me time to answer, the buffet just inside the casino, one of the many perks of living above a resort. That plus no lawn to mow and no neighborhood association fees.
I barely cook anymore, she said. We have nachos every single night of our lives. I tell Gooch all the time we need to eat better, like stir fry or whole grain organics or at least lean cuisine. But no, every night I'm dragging out the Velveeta for nachos, unless we order pizza.
I wondered what she'd ordered from Starbucks. Triple espresso? I could see Bradley mentally counting down the hours between now and tomorrow morning when he would leave for a conference. Bex and Quinn stared. They'd never seen or heard anything like Vree in their little lives.
This is the most beautiful place in the world.
She took a breath to admire the view past our terrace, the city of Biloxi waking up behind Bradley and the morning sun cutting a shimmering line through the gulf waters behind me.
I don't know when I've seen anything as beautiful as this. I'm so happy to be here. I can't see straight, and Bubblegum is going to go crazy loving it. She's going to run in circles for hours when she gets here. Where are they? Did you ever think in a million years you'd live in a place this nice, Davis? I mean, you know, growing up like you did in your parents' little house, it's like I tell Mare all the time. You were born under a lucky star. You're the luckiest person alive. It's like you rolled in a field of four-leaf clovers or you were hit over the head with a horseshoe when you were little. Another thing I tell Mare all the time is if I'd had any idea you'd wind up here and we'd end up stuck in Pineapple, I'd have hitched my wagon to yours and left her in the dust. Not that I don't love Meredith. You know I do, thick and thin. But you've got it going on, Davis. You really do.
A cardinal sang an April song from a high branch of the terrace cherry tree. Bex and Quinn's hats whipped around. They said,
"Bird, bird, bird." "Are they in school yet?"
Vree asked.
"Do they play musical instruments or speak Japanese? Kids are so super smart these days. How old are they now? 2, 4? I don't even remember when they were born. A year ago? 3? They're not afraid of dogs, are they? It's so funny how the baby bug bit such a big chunk out of you, Davis, and didn't even light on me. Everyone keeps telling me I should have a dozen by now because everyone else does, which they actually don't. I mean, there's Brenda Gray, who has 7 kids, maybe 8 by now, but she's the exception, not the rule. I tell everyone Bubblicious is all the baby I need, and it's the truth. She's every bit my baby, just like yours are yours, and the only difference is mine has fur. And she's the cutest fur baby ever born. Not that your kids aren't cute, too. They're really cute. Adorable. They don't look a thing like you, Davis. But, I mean, you know they're yours because you had them, right? I guess it's a good thing I don't have any of my own because they'd be 6 feet tall and look just like Gooch. Can you imagine? I can't. I'm too busy with Bubble Pop to think about kids anyway.
Bradley, who hadn't blinked once since Vree sat down and opened her mouth, pushed his chair back and stood. Who's ready to go help Dad in the office? I raised my hand. No, I didn't. Ladies. Bradley kissed the top of my head. He was barely out the front door with the girls when a notification flashed across my phone. It wasn't security telling me Meredith had finally arrived, but it was the next best thing, a notification I had an email from her.
What is it?
Vree placed a heavy hand on my arm. It's an email from Meredith. I clicked it open.
Email? Why? Is something wrong with her phone? Do you think she dropped her phone and busted it? No, because she probably sent the email from her phone. If her phone's not busted, why wouldn't she just call? I bet because her hands are full of bubble trouble. But wait, texting is easier than emailing, and calling is easier than texting. She sent an email? That doesn't make sense. What does it say?
Davis, it's Pastor Gully, Meredith is with me, and for the time being, she's safe. We're on our way to Guadalajara, Mexico. What? Meredith was safe? Why in the world wouldn't she be? She was with a preacher. Guilford Gully was the pastor at Pineapple Baptist Church. Had been all my life. He'd baptized me when I was 10. He dressed up as Noah every year for vacation Bible school. Why did Gully have Meredith's phone? And what did he say about Guadalajara?
All I knew of Guadalajara was organized crime, drug trafficking, and don't drink the water. Meredith was with the preacher and his wife. Yes, she left Pineapple with the Gullies the day before in their new used motorhome for a stop at Orange Beach, 2 hours away in Alabama, on her way here, not Mexico. Meredith didn't even have a passport. We didn't go to the beach, and I'm not dropping Meredith off in Biloxi. We're on our way to Guadalajara, and we're staying in Guadalajara until you wire me $1 million. That's $1 million, Davis. I didn't put the phone down so much as I threw it down.
What? Vree asked. What? I mean, what? Is something wrong with Bubblegum? What's wrong?
I leaned over the phone lying on the table, one hand clasped over my mouth, the other over my heart, and read the rest. I'm giving you 5 days. You have until Friday morning to figure out how to get $1 million out of that den of iniquity you live in, or I will leave Meredith and Vreeland Howard's dog on the street corner in downtown Guadalajara. I've prayed without ceasing over this, Davis, and I am confident this is the Lord's will. Heed his message. I was put on this earth to show men the way, the truth, and the light. If word of this were to get out, my work for the Almighty would be finished. To ensure you and Sister Looselips don't destroy my holy mission, I am sending a disciple to be my eyes, ears, and courier. If you or Vreeland Howard speak one word to one person, I will know, and I will leave your sister in the middle of Mexico with nothing but the clothes on her back. The dog, too. You're a child of God, Davis. Do his will. Do it swiftly, stealthily, and in secret, so that you may soon be reunited with your loved one. God be with you. I pushed the phone to Vree. She read the email, then the phone dropped out of her hands. She didn't say a word. I hadn't begun to process what I'd just read, and Vree was in a mute paralytic trance when my phone rang. It was security, calling to say I had another visitor on the way up. I don't remember running to the front door. I do remember almost tearing it off the hinges, praying it would be my sister. But there stood Aunt Bootsy, the witch. 2. I don't have $1 million, Bootsy. I can't believe Gully is stupid enough to think I do. Who has $1 million lying around? What does Gully need with $1 million anyway? An even better question, Bootsy, is what does his needing $1 million have to do with my sister? What's she done to him? What have I done to him?
My dog!
Vree wailed.
What has my dog ever done to him?
Bootsy Howard had marched in my front door, dropped an ancient tapestry bag on the travertine floor of my foyer, and said,
Where's Vreeland? I'm only saying this once.
A sorrowful howl floated in from the terrace. Bootsy's head jerked.
There she is.
She followed the cries to the terrace, me on her heels, where she kicked the chair Vree was slumped over in, told her to stop blubbering, then helped herself to a heaping plate of cold breakfast before she sat down in the chair my husband had occupied not 10 minutes earlier. Mouth full, she said,
Have a seat, Davis.
I didn't want to have a seat so much as I wanted to have a fit. But sit down I did, because my legs wouldn't hold me up another second. Bootsy, where is my sister?
Pass the potatoes.
Vree was still bent over double, sobbing into her knees.
Vreeland!
Vree's head jerked up. Her face was a mascara mess.
Pass the potatoes.
I hijacked the hash browns, guarding them with my life, and said, Bootsy, where is my sister?
Where's my dog?
Bootsy Howard, mid-50s, never married, mean as a rattlesnake,
had a long face atop a long, scraggy neck atop a long, lanky body. She'd been buttoned up in dark clothes from her chin to her ankles since birth, mine, anyway, even in the dead of summer, so the only exposed skin on her body was her face and hands, and they were ravaged either by the sun, meanness, or standing over a boiling cauldron. She dropped the croissant she'd been buttering, pushed her plate away, and clasped her hands on the terrace table. Her fingernails were long, cabernet red, and filed to points. She cleared her throat, and the two cardinals who nested in the cherry tree bolted.
"You know where Meredith is, Davis."
She turned to Vree.
"And you know where your silly dog is. You've read the message from Pastor Gully. I know you have, so you know where they are. And that being said, you know why I'm here."
A gust of wind blew a white linen napkin off the table.
"They're in Mexico," she said. "And they'll be in Mexico until you come up with the money."
That was when I told her I didn't have $1 million. "This is federal, Bootsy," I said. "Aggravated kidnapping and extortion. You're aiding and abetting. You're going to prison for the rest of your life. Get yourself out of this mess while there's still time. Call Gully." I pushed my phone past the potatoes. "Tell him to turn the camper around and bring Meredith back this minute."
"And my dog!"
Bootsy looked me in the eye. She had black dot lasers for pupils.
"Go to the casino and get the money, Davis. Bring it to me. The minute you do, I'll make the call and your sister will be on her way."
"Why?"
Vree sobbed.
"Why?"
"Why isn't your concern, Vreeland? The only thing you need to concern yourself with is keeping your mouth shut and helping Davis get the money."
Bootsy forked her fingers and toggled them at us.
"You tell no one, either of you, and that includes your husband, Davis."
She tapped her hollowed temple.
"I'll know. You say a word about this and I'll know."
Bootsy pushed back from the table and stood. She stepped behind me and used the back of one of her veiny hands to smack Vree.
"Get up, Vreeland. Show me to my room."
I shot out of my chair and wedged between them. "You're not staying in my home, Bootsy. You weren't invited. You're not welcome, and you're not staying." Bootsy rolled her eyes.
"You don't understand, do you, Davis?"
She was right. I didn't understand. 20 minutes earlier, my daughters had been at the same table eating strawberry pancakes. An hour earlier, I'd woken up and remembered my sister was coming. My funny, sweet, smart, loyal, beautiful sister. A day earlier, I'd been fluffing pillows on the guest beds, getting ready for my guests, and Bootsy Howard's name hadn't been on the list. So no, I didn't understand.
"I'm here for the money."
Bootsy paused to use a long, pointy, pinky fingernail for a toothpick.
"And to keep an eye on you two until I get it. Make no mistake, this isn't a test. Gully's dead serious, and so am I. Get the money, give it to me, or good luck getting your sister back in one piece."
Vree wailed.
"My dog!"
I fell back into my chair.
"No money?"
Bootsy popped Vree's arm again.
"No dog."
Vree gasped for air. Bootsy said,
"I'll find my own room,"
and left. In her wake, my phone rang. Maybe it would be a dose of reality on the other end. Someone calling to tell me it was a hoax, April Fools. Maybe it would be Meredith. And by tonight, we'd be on the road to putting this nightmare behind us. The caller ID said it was Bradley, which hit me like another, the 10th, bucket of ice water dumped over my head in as many minutes. For the first time in forever,
Maybe since I met my husband more than 5 years ago, I didn't want to talk to him because I didn't know what to say. Nothing, everything, something in the middle. I hadn't begun to process the onslaught of the incoming, so I wasn't in any position to manage anything outgoing, like conversation. I rescued my arm from Vree, who was trying to pull it off, and the babble coming out of her was incoherent. I caught every 30th word. Those were Bubbles, Clint Eastwood, and Mexico. Bradley? Hey, you. He sounded fine. I could hear one of the girls, Quinn, I think, giggling. Nothing wrong. Everything right on his end, when it most certainly wasn't on mine.
I didn't know Vree's mother-in-law was coming.
What? I was up and circling the terrace table. Vree's what? Who?
Vree's aunt, mother-in-law, husband's aunt, I'm not sure. Tall, older lady. Looks like my middle school assistant principal. She was waiting on the lobby level when the girls and I stepped out of the elevator. She had two of those carnival suckers, the huge rainbow lollipops for the girls.
You didn't let them have them, did you?
I didn't unwrap them.
Good.
I had security send her up. Did she make it?
She made it.
Is she staying with us, too?
He asked. I scratched my head.
It doesn't matter, he said. If any more of Pineapple shows up, we'll put them in hotel rooms. Bex! Davis, hold on.
I stopped lapping the table to stare out at the gulf in the direction of Mexico, looking for my sister.
She jumped on a luggage cart and was on her way to the 10th floor with a bellman.
I'd forgotten I was holding the phone with my husband on the other end. Who?
Your daughter,
he said.
Bexley?
I rubbed the back of my neck. Did you need me, Bradley? He didn't answer right away, probably because he wasn't used to me rushing him off the phone.
Is she driving you crazy?
He asked. Then,
Quinn, get back here.
Who?
Meredith's friend, the talker. Is she driving you crazy?
Speaking of, where was Vree? Her chair was empty. She could have slipped into the house and have her hands throttled around Bootsy's throat by now, which wouldn't help my sister a bit. I scanned the terrace and found her on the other side of the cherry tree, sobbing over the balustrade.
Are you there, Davis?
Here.
Are you okay?
I'm fine. Sorry, just busy.
The girls and I are on our way to the convention center where the show dogs are checking in. I have a feeling we may be there a while.
No doubt. Bex and Quinn love dogs. And ladybugs and witches with carnival suckers.
You're sure you don't mind if I skip the girl talk?
No, not a bit.
About that,
he said. About what?
The girl talk.
I was having so much trouble keeping up.
I have good news,
he said.
One of the judges canceled.
What? Who? I could hear my scattered self, and if I didn't calm down just a little, I might as well blurt it out, which I fully intended to do the minute I figured it out.
A dog show judge, Davis, a woman from Atlanta. A judge in the dog show isn't going to make it. A dental emergency, something.
And?
It's good news,
he said. I could use some good news, but couldn't figure out how that was.
They want Bianca to fill in.
I dropped into Vree's vacated chair. Bianca Sanders, the Bellissimo owner's wife, who lived above us in the penthouse, wouldn't be caught dead judging a dog show. We looked alarmingly alike, Bianca and me, and as such, I was her celebrity double. I had been for years. The news my husband was delivering was that I would be filling in for the missing dog judge. If they asked for Bianca, they would get me. How is that good news, Bradley?
You won't have to entertain Motormouth and the aunt-in-law. You'll be at the dog show.
How was I supposed to get my hands on $1 million, get my sister back, take care of my daughters with him out of town, manage Vreeland and Bootsy Howard, and judge a dog show at the same time? I looked up to see Vree with one leg on this side of the terrace wall and one leg on the other. Bradley, I have to go. I hung up, then pulled Vree off the ledge. We sat on the cool marble ground, our backs against the stone balustrade, and panted. There's nowhere to go, Vree.
I figured that out.
Parents of toddlers who live 29 stories in the air don't take chances. Thanks to 3 levels of plexiglass balcony shields, there was no jumping, falling, tripping, or otherwise exiting our home, except by elevator, emergency stairwell, or helicopter from the roof. Vree was slumped beside me, her face buried in her hands.
What are we going to do, Davis?
First, we're going to find out if it's true.
How?
I found my phone. My father will know.
But we can't tell!
Vree, Daddy will tell me what he knows without me telling him what I know. Doe-eyed, she said.
That's so smart!
But when my father, the chief of police and mayor of Pine Apple, did learn 2 of his residents under his jurisdiction were holding his youngest daughter hostage and demanding a ridiculous amount of ransom from his oldest, if he didn't shoot them on sight, he'd throw them under the Pine Apple jail until they could be carted off to federal prison camp in Montgomery. What in the world were Gully and Bootsy thinking? Had they lost their minds? I speed dialed. He answered on the first ring. Daddy?
Sweet Pea?
I was almost mid-30s, married with children, and my father still called me Sweet Pea. He'd probably call me Sweet Pea when I was 60, or 160 like Bootsy, who must have been spying on me because she suddenly appeared. The terrace doors blew open and Bootsy blew through them. She towered over us, her long shadow blocking the sun, with her feet planted wide and her hands balled into fists on her hips. Vree scooted closer to me, out of defiance, solidarity, or terror. Hold on a second, Daddy. I tucked the speaker end of the phone under my leg. Bootsy growled a low-pitched warning.
Don't you say a word to him, Davis.
Bootsy. I lowered my volume to a loud whisper. Let's get one thing straight. Whatever it is Gully has dragged you into, and whatever you think your role is here, you don't own me, and I don't follow your rules. This is my home, my father, and my phone. I glared at her, picked up my phone, and said, Daddy?
Can you believe your sister?
Daddy, is Riley with you?
Yes.
He said it in an of-course-she-is way.
She's been here for 2 days. She'll be here all week. You knew that.
I didn't know a thing at that moment, except Riley, my 10-year-old niece and Meredith's only child, was where she was supposed to be, safe in Pine Apple with my parents, and that Daddy sounded fine. What did you say about Meredith? I asked. Can I believe what about my sister? There was a pause, just a beat, before he answered.
You don't sound good, Davis.
Bootsy's witchy eyes bore down on me. Vex and Quinn, I lied to my own father. No sleep last night. He said sweet somethings about his granddaughters, then asked what I thought about Meredith's sudden change of plans. I tried to keep my voice steady. I don't know what to think, Daddy. What do you think?
Well, for one, he said, I can't imagine that Vreeland Howard isn't upset with her. For another, your mother and I think it's odd that Meredith would want to spend the week with Guilford and Gina.
My heart sank. Did she say why?
Something about Americana. The open road, landscapes, sunrises and sunsets.
Which was preposterous. Meredith didn't have an ounce of wanderlust. If she did, she wouldn't still live in Pineapple. And she was the worst person in the world to be stuck in a vehicle with because she didn't sit well. Vree didn't have a quiet button. Meredith didn't have an idle button. When did you talk to her, Daddy?
Last night. She called from Guilford's phone because she'd misplaced hers. She said she'd changed her mind about spending the week in Biloxi and wanted to stay on the road with the Gullies. Have she and Vreeland had a falling out?
On the other end of the phone, Daddy waited for my response in comfortable silence. It was anything but comfortable on my end, with Bootsy lurking over me, tapping a witch boot, ready to snatch the phone out of my hand. Not that I know of.
Don't be mad at your sister, Davis.
I'm not, Daddy.
Let her have her fun. She's done little in her life on a whim.
She deserves a whim.
And get some earplugs.
Head bent so Bootsy wouldn't have the satisfaction, I blinked back tears. It was all so very real, this confirmation from my father. If Daddy said Meredith wasn't coming, Meredith really wasn't coming. And that meant Gully really did have her, and Bootsy really did expect me to come up with $1 million to get her back. Earplugs? My voice cracked.
Vreeland.
Right.
Davis.
Daddy said.
Your sister said to tell you everything would be okay and she'd see you soon.
I turned as far away from Bootsy Howard as I could. I love you, Daddy.
We'll talk soon, sweet pea.
Bootsy pushed back a dark sleeve and checked the time on her witch watch. She kicked my foot to get my attention, as if she didn't already have it.
This can be finished faster than it started. Go downstairs and get the money. I'll be resting in my room.
She turned on her witch heels.
And Davis?
She paused at the French doors.
I'm no happier about this than you are. Make it easy on us both. Get the $1 million, give it to me, and this will all be over.
Then she was gone. Beside me, as quiet as she'd been in her life, and probably the longest stretch since she'd spoken her first baby word, Vree broke her silence.
Did your dad say anything about bubblegum?
He hadn't. I patted her leg. She tipped her head onto my shoulder.
What are we going to do?
I don't know yet. The Cardinals returned. They circled, coast clear. They settled in their tree. I'll tell you one thing we're not going to do, Vree.
What's that?
Go downstairs, get $1 million, then give it to Bootsy Howard.
Isn't there so much money in the casino, Davis? Like millions and millions and millions? Would anyone really miss one of them? Can't you just sneak it out?
Yes, Vree, I could. But it's not my money, and I'm not going to rob the casino. 3. I was the perfect person to rob the casino because it was my job to keep the casino from being robbed. I knew every trick in the casino heist book. It had either been tried here or I'd learned from attempts at other casinos, plus I'd seen all the Ocean's movies. I knew how it wasn't done. I could figure out how it was. Not that I had any intention of robbing the casino. What I wanted to do was march out my front door, find my husband, and tell him everything. For several reasons, Bootsy's and Gully's demands for secrecy not one of them, I didn't. Before Bradley was president and CEO of the Bellissimo, he was an attorney. He saw things in black and white, including kidnapping and extortion. He'd have the FBI and their international counterparts here in 5 minutes. I was a spy, Spies don't call the feds until they have their man. Or preacher. Or witch. 5 years ago, I joined an elite internal security team at the Bellissimo. After a nice long maternity leave when Vex and Quinn were born, I'd recently returned to work in a part-time job share capacity with my best friend, Fantasy Herb. We reported to the head of security, Jeremy Covey, and we had a fourth on our team, Baylor. Just Baylor. He was mononymous, like Beyonce and Snoopy. Before I took the Bellissimo position, I was a police officer for 7 years in Pine Apple. Given my background, very different from my husband's, I saw every shade of gray. Bradley went straight from A to Z. I meandered, often getting stuck around G, shot at near M, without a hope by T, but somehow pulled it together by Z. I wasn't sure what I was dealing with, and I wasn't going to drag Bradley into it until I was. Too much was at stake, my own sister, for me to rush, trip, and possibly fall. I had too many questions. First, was Gully really on his way to Mexico with Meredith? I believed he had her, but for all I knew, he had her across the street. I needed to find him. If I found Gully, I'd find my sister. Second, why did he need so much money? Because Gully had a $1 million problem. If I knew what it was, maybe I could help find a solution other than grand larceny, with me being the grand larcenist. Third, I needed to level the playing field. As it stood, Gully held all the cards. Typically, my first move would be to gather my team. Four heads, you know. I couldn't, because I couldn't tell them. I couldn't tell them before I told Bradley. Marriage, you know, I had a good one and wanted to keep it that way. I couldn't go to the police, what would I say? A preacher kidnapped my sister and a witch wants me to steal $1 million? I couldn't and wouldn't, if I could, tell my parents. My father survived one heart attack. I wasn't about to give him another. And that left Vree.
Are we going to sit outside all day?
She asked.
Shouldn't we be doing something? Should we at least go inside? Make missing flyers and staple them to telephone poles? Call the milk box people? You know how they used to put pictures of missing people on milk boxes? We could call the police and have an Amber Alert issued for bubblegum. Think, Davis, think. I can't even think. You're going to have to do the thinking. I'm way too confused to think. I can't think past us going to Mexico and saving them. But if we go to Mexico, what about your babies? Can you take babies to Mexico? Could you leave them with a babysitter? Is there an app for babysitters, like Lyft, where you just ask for a babysitter, then one shows up? And once we get there, how will we find Meredith and Bubbles? Or should we do what Gully wants? Davis, please, let's go to the casino and get the money. Just go get it. You know where the money is. I mean, surely you know. Get the money. Give it to Bootsy, then get Meredith and Bubs back.
Vree, I patted her leg again. Of all that, we should probably go inside.
And then what? Get the money from the casino?
I can tell you right now, Vree, we're not going to the casino and stealing $1 million. That's not happening. Tears sprang to her eyes.
If we don't give Bootsy the money, how do we get Meredith and Bubs back?
We launch Operation Sister Rescue was how we'd get them back. I picked up my phone, lying still on the terrace tile. I whispered, Gully has Meredith and Bubbles. We're taking Bootsy. The blood drained from Vree's face. Go stand at the door. Watch for her. Vree pulled herself up, skirted the table, then positioned herself between the double French doors. She cupped her eyes with her hands and pressed her face against the glass.
I don't see her.
I speed dialed. Hey, it's me. I need you to help me relocate someone.
From where to where?
Fantasy asked. From here to anywhere else. Are you home? She asked. Yes. And there's someone there you want gone? Yes. Who? Does it matter?
I guess not,
she said.
When?
Immediately.
I have a nail appointment.
Cancel it.
How big is he?
It's a she, and why does it matter how big she is?
I need to know if this is a bag-over-the-head job, a chloroform job, or a gun job.
That's the thing about a best friend. Do you still have the pink gun you got for Christmas?
As a matter of fact, I do.
Bring the pink gun.
Good idea.
Bree's head whipped around.
We can't get money from the casino, but we can shoot Bootsy with a pink gun? Not that that's not a good idea, but isn't killing worse than stealing?
Who's that? Fantasy asked. Meredith's friend, Vree.
Oh, right. The chatterbox. Is that who I'm relocating?
No, I said. Her fake mother-in-law.
Why is her fake mother-in-law there? And what's a fake mother-in-law?
Long story, Fantasy. Just get over here and help get this woman out of my house.
And what is it you want me to do with her once I get her out of your house?
I need to park her somewhere. Can you put her in your bonus room?
If all you need is to park her somewhere, why can't we park her in a guest room at the hotel? Does she have to come here?
Housekeeping would find her.
Right. How much trouble is she?
Not much, I lied.
For how long?
A few days, one or two.
How am I supposed to explain this to Reggie and the boys?
Reggie was Fantasy's husband. The boys were Fantasy's three sons. The boys, all middle school aged, played every sport under the sun. Some I'd heard of, some I hadn't. Lately, it had been basketball. I thought they were out of town at a basketball tournament.
They are.
Then why do you have to explain anything?
Good point,
she said. And go through your bonus room, Fantasy. Load it up with a few days of groceries and get anything out she could use for a weapon or to escape.
This is getting more interesting by the minute, she said. What else? Should I bring donuts?
No, I said. We just finished breakfast. But I need a West Highland White Terrier.
A what?
A dog. Cute little white dog with pointy ears.
A Westie,
Fantasy said.
I love Westies. Where am I supposed to get one?
I have no idea.
How about we take this one step at a time? The fake mother-in-law first, then we'll worry about the dog.
I closed my eyes in relief and gratitude and hope.
What's this about?
Fantasy asked. I didn't answer.
Davis, is Meredith there? Today's the day Meredith and her friend are coming, right? The friend is there. Is Meredith?
I didn't answer.
What, Davis? What's happened?
Again, I didn't answer. She said, I'll be there as soon as possible. Vree flipped around and let the French doors hold her up. In the smallest voice, she asked why we needed a Westie. Because we don't want to tell anyone yet, Vree. Which means we need to act normal. And that means you need a dog for the dog show. My phone rang in my hand. I looked at the caller ID, and with its news, decided I'd had all I could take for one morning. Bianca. I set it on a sigh, an exhausted sigh.
David?
Richard Sanders owned the Bellissimo. He bought it from his father-in-law, Salvatore Casimiro. Mr. Sanders was at times happily, and at other times unhappily married to Casimiro's only daughter, Bianca, my doppelganger. Our coloring was off. I have red hair, more caramel than red,
and eyes about the same color, while she's honey blonde with pistachio green eyes. But we were the same height, build, and weight, with alarmingly similar features. And with one can of Be Blonde, which I bought by the case at Walgreens, plus tinted contact lenses, only our husbands could tell us apart. I'd been Bianca's celebrity double since I walked through the Bellissimo doors, and I was good at it. Bianca was addicted to it, so addicted she rarely went out, which meant very little interaction with humans past her staff, who she didn't even acknowledge as human, and that left me. I was her human. And she thought I was her staff. Not only did I represent her to the outside world, I was her only link to it. To beat it all, she fully believed my name was David. I hadn't managed in 5 long years to convince her otherwise.
David,
she said,
a person from Georgia.
She said it like a person from the 9th circle of hell.
Came to my home with textbooks, large, filthy, and unattractive textbooks about dogs, as in Bow Wow. Several dilapidated boxes containing dozens of oversized, soiled, and musty canine reference manuals. He's under the impression I'm going to study them, then take part in an activity downstairs involving dogs. Is the casino now filled with dogs? Am I living above a kennel and no one's bothered to tell me? You, of all people, know I would risk Gianna and Gita's health at their tender ages by consorting with common street dogs. Exactly, never. And I'd like you to stop whatever you're doing and take care of this.
By tender ages, she meant senior citizens. Bianca's Yorkshire Terriers had to be 12 or 13 years old, maybe 20. And the older they got, the less they liked me. The casino is still below us, Bianca, I said. The dogs are in the convention center, not the casino. They're here for a show, a dog show.
As in Westminster?
Like that, I said.
These are European dogs?
Not exactly.
These dogs are from Georgia?
She did it again. All over the South, Bianca. She huffed.
Why have these southern dog people invaded my home with their filthy library?
They want you to be a judge.
Never.
I'll do it, I said.
You most certainly will, David.
It's Davis. I called Plethora and asked for a terrace makeover. I wasn't going back in my house until Bootsy Howard was on her way out of it, and I couldn't look at breakfast one more minute. "And bring a fresh pot of coffee," I said.
"For how many, Mrs. Cole?"
2. Bootsy was on her own. She wasn't getting anything from me, coffee, hospitality, or $1 million. Vree and I sat facing each other at the table, positioned to see Bootsy coming. "Start at the beginning," I kept my voice down, "and be efficient with your words. Try to answer my questions as accurately and concisely as you can."
"Okay, but..."
I held up a stop sign hand. "Just okay."
"What? I mean..."
I stop signed her again. "Okay," was the answer. "That was all you needed to say. When I do this," stop sign, "it means stop talking."
"How am I supposed to..."
I gave her the stop sign. She slumped. I scanned again for Bootsy. No Bootsy. She was probably busy casting spells all over my house. "Vree, what's the connection between Gully and Bootsy?"
"What do you mean? Like, does Bootsy go to church? Or do you mean is she friends with Gina Gully? That's a no, because no one is friends with Gina. You know that dead stare of Gina's? How it makes everyone so nervous? People can't take it. She's just about goofy, and I think it's from listening to Gully's sermons too long. You say, good morning, Gina, and after she stares straight through you for 10 minutes, she throws her head back and her arms up in the air, then screams, praise be to the Almighty! Jesus, take the wheel! Lazarus and Mary Magdalene! She's like on another planet.
Stop sign. Vree. There has to be a connection between Gully and Bootsy. Think hard. Gully didn't knock on Bootsy's door and say, I'm going to kidnap Meredith Way, haul her to Mexico, and get $1 million out of her sister. I'd like you to help. That didn't happen, Vree. Tell me something, anything, that connects the two of them.
Vree squirmed.
I can't think of anything. I mean, I can't hardly think. My brain is frozen like shocked.
Try, I said. Try hard, Vree. 10 minutes later, I gave up trying to dig a connection between Pastor Gully and Bootsy out of her endless babble, because it wasn't coming anytime soon, and time was something we didn't have much of. Next question, I said. Why was your dog with Meredith? I might have known. Meredith may very well have told me during one of the 10 conversations it had taken to set up the week's adventures, but I'd either forgotten or missed it altogether. Vree took a deep breath. A bad sign.
You know, the front porch.
I let out the deep breath she'd taken. Of course I knew the front porch. My sister and niece lived on Main Street in the antebellum my father was born and raised in. They lived on the second and third floors above Meredith's shop, the front porch. She sold antiques, collectibles, rare first edition books, and vintage clothing. She served banana splits and milkshakes in the former kitchen she'd remodeled into an old-fashioned soda fountain. Vree? It was a warning.
Right. Don't stick your hand in my face. I'll hurry and answer. How am I supposed to answer in like one word or two words? I mean, I have to start at...
Double stop signs. Vree crossed her arms.
Photo shoot.
See? I asked. How hard was that? I could fill in the blanks. My sister was part stylist, part decorator, part retail genius, and all gold, as in everything she touched turned to gold. Meredith could take an 80-year-old piece of unidentifiable furniture, a few milk crates, a bolt of ugly fabric, and a roll of duct tape, then turn it into an elegant dinner seating for 8. A year ago, maybe, I'd been busy with newborn twins. She bought an antique camera collection at an estate sale. She'd tinkered with the cameras until they were in working order, but instead of selling them at the porch, she started snapping photographs. Gold photographs. Meredith was good at everything. And without a doubt, our mother's favorite. Let me get this straight, I said. You let Bubblegum go with Meredith for a photo shoot.
Sunset on the beach in her bikini.
The dog had a bikini. Whose idea was it?
What idea? You mean for Meredith to take Bubblegum's picture? Mine. For us to ride down here in Gully's new Winnebago? His.
Premeditated. When did Gully get the Winnebago, Vree?
Like, maybe last week?
Recently, Gully had planned his hostage-taking road trip recently. Did he offer you a ride too, Vree? Why didn't you ride with them? I asked.
I was going to, but then Gucci...
Stop sign.
Package.
Maybe I needed more than one or two-word answers. Less than 1,000, but more than one. I rolled a hand.
My FedEx didn't get there in time, and Gooch...
Stop sign. I've known Gooch my whole life, Vree. You've been married to him since high school. This story isn't about Gooch, and we can talk about him another time. She pouted, then let it go. Then she squeezed her eyes closed, searching, I think, for an answer that wouldn't get her a stop sign.
Bubblegum has a cocktail dress for the evening wear competition on Thursday, maybe Wednesday. I'd have to look at the schedule of events. Pink taffeta with a little line of pearls.
Guess what I did. Vree rolled her eyes.
The matching booties didn't fit. They were open toe. To show her glitter polish?
I did it again. Vree drooped in frustration.
I was waiting for the booties. They made her outfit.
Vree actually stop-signed herself.
At the last minute, I didn't ride with the Gullies and Meredith and Bubbles because I had to stay home and wait on the booties.
Saved from abduction by open-toed dog booties. 4. Room service restored order to the terrace. I followed the busboy to the front door, hoping to get a visual on Bootsy Howard without having to actually hunt her down in the guest wing, where she was and Meredith wasn't. Where she was supposed to be, anyway. For all I knew, she could be witching her way through my walls.